Time the kids can go to class.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. And as we come to the foot of the cross, I'd like to start with an introduction that many of us haven't done before. Many of us probably haven't been to the movies in quite a while. But you remember in the movies, though, when one character says, "Can't we just go back to the way things used to be?" Right? That's usually an indication on the part of the writers that that character has yet to face up to reality, or that they've at least yet to face up to themselves. And the solution of going back to the way things used to be is offered in the way of bringing some kind of reconciliation or forgiveness or some way of security. They want so badly for the bad times to give way to good times. But that's only under a false pretense that the bad times didn't really happen and that it really didn't hurt that much. Certainly for us, we'd probably all at one level love to go back to before 2020. Right, back to the way things were, back before COVID-19, back before the challenges of racial injustice hit us in the face, before the trauma of daily life, of wearing these all the time, of social distance. And all of these things, if you're like me, we can repress them, but we're not going to erase them. We can push them down, but we're not going to forget them. And while society looks for peace or reconciliation or forgiveness in different places or modes as Christians, man, we know this real reconciliation is only achieved through coming to God and through coming to His cross. And the way forward spiritually is not about forgetting the past. The way forward spiritually is by remembering how the past has shaped us, how the past has hurt us, how the past has fractured our hearts, how the past has reoriented our perspective and fundamentally changed the way as we look forward, how we look at ourselves and how we look at God. This morning, as we share in communion, Patty and I want to talk with you about the idea of embracing our brokenness, your brokenness, my brokenness, of embracing our woundedness. And through embracing our woundedness, looking to Jesus, who is that wounded healer. And we're going to begin looking at that through the Japanese art of kintsugi. Now, I've gotten some... those of you who thought I wasn't going to be very artistic, right? So I've gotten so we're blessed with several people from of Japanese descent in our Bible talks. I've gotten advice here, so I think I'm on safe ground. So Naoko, if I wander off, you help me out here, okay? So I'm going to read this so I don't mess it up. But kintsugi is the art of fixing broken pottery with a lacquer resin that is dusted or mixed with powdered gold. Takes pieces of broken pottery and rejoins them with this gold to fuse these previously broken parts together. Asian cultures have long had a history in lacquerware. That it started way back in the Shang Dynasty, which was a Chinese dynasty in 1600 BC through 1046 BC. I should have talked to Jay and Armstrong about that, but I think I'm on safe ground there. Kintsugi's more recent history brings us to the 14th century Japan, where a famous shogun, Ashikaga Yoshimitsu, right, broke one of his prized tea bowls and asked his colleagues to repair it. That started the process we know today as kintsugi. So kintsugi is grounded in the Eastern concept of wabi-sabi, which finds beauty. Hold, hang with me. See, this is just a full service communion. Right? I want to make sure you get it all. I want to make sure that wabi-sabi finds beauty not in our Western view of symmetry, geometry, and wholeness, but in the values of impermanence, and imperfection. You know, moving to the Western world, perhaps it was this concept of kintsugi that Hemingway had in mind when he penned the words in A Farewell to Arms, "The world breaks everyone, and afterward many are strong in the broken places." See, the intention of kintsugi is that the reassembled pieces are actually considered more beautiful and more valuable than the original unblemished piece. In fact, the fault lines, the broken places, are now lined with gold. I think you can see where we're going with this. Turn with me in Luke 22. You know, the point of kintsugi is that the flaws of an object's history are not hidden, but they're emblazoned with golden significance. The things that have broken you and that have broken me in God's world are not to be hidden. Right? They're to be filled with His grace and mercy. In Luke 22... verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So the disciples go out with Jesus to the Mount of Olives to pray. This was his usual pattern. But tonight it was different. The dinner conversation that night had a finality previously unspoken. The glances between the apostles reveal the nervousness previously unseen. The evening had a heaviness, a sense of dread. A fearful expectation hangs over everyone. And Jesus goes out to pray. Well, he goes out to plead. He goes out to beseech, just to beg his father, his daddy, to make another way other than the cross. When was the last time you begged God for something? Begged Him. When was your last, "Father, not my will, but your will be done"? Jesus knows what that's like. He's been there. At the cross, it was God's will to break God's heart. If God didn't save His Son from heartbreak to accomplish something greater, I know that my life won't be immune from suffering and hardship. We're not going to read it, but we know that the final lesson of the cross is not God saying no to Jesus, leaving Him to suffer alone. The lesson of the cross is that Jesus allowed the no that he received, the suffering that he experienced, to change him in the resurrection. And that's our hope. That's our hope. We live broken. We live suffering. And we all do, don't we? In reality, we all live in a place where we need God to fill in the broken places in our lives. We live in a hope that we will be changed, not protected from suffering, but changed by it, transformed. And the cross of Christ frees us from this cycle of not knowing what to do with our pain, of projecting it on others or remaining trapped by it. In effect, I think Jesus is saying, if I can trust the Father and be transformed during this time of suffering, you can too.
You know, God does spiritual kintsugi on all of us. Often has been my experience living out the human experience. You know, there are places in your life that's been broken and shattered today. You know, as many of you know, we're grateful for the prayers of the past 5 months, the loss of our granddaughter, our sweet Caroline Grace. But daily we keep her memory alive. We laugh, we talk. And that's the joy that I think with Haley and Zach that we have. But we've been broken. And I love the picture of the pottery with the gold. Because as our faith holds out, man, that's all we have. To hold us and bring us back together. Right. But living in a pandemic for over a year now, and just living 2020 has brought a lot of pain to a lot of people and a lot of suffering, a lot of brokenness. You know, you may have had to walk away from a business and lock the door behind you. You're in despair. You're in fear. And you're in lost hope. You may have walked down the empty hospital corridor out into the dark, leaving behind the one you love, or walked away from a gravesite alone, scared, dreams shattered, and hope buried there too. Maybe you've walked away from admitting a teenage son or daughter into a mental health facility. And today, you're living in desperation and fear. The marriage, your finances, your health, your aging parents. The list goes on and on with the frustrations and disappointments, with the losses, and with the brokenness. As we offer our brokenness, though, back to God, God will put us back together. And spiritually, we will be more spectacular than before our suffering. But what I've learned personally is that it's in the struggle of our suffering where my brokenness leans into hope. It's in the suffering where my brokenness leans into hope. In his book, God on Mute, Pete Gregg describes the brokenness and the suffering as this. It's a place where God is silent. It's a desolate no man's land. A place where we feel forsaken and abandoned. A place where we live between questions and answers, grief and anticipation. It's a place with a peculiar mix of faith and despair in the prayers uttered and miracles hoped for. Spiritual kintsugi gives us hope. Our cracks remain, but they've been sealed with gold by the hand of the master artist. So today, as we gather together as a community to take communion, let's remember wherever we are, broken into pieces, or we've already been put back together in a spectacular golden resin by God's hand, that we can be grateful for the hope that is living amongst us. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you just for your wow, your great mercy, for your love, for your creative work that you do in all of our lives. And it's with gratitude that we can come before you as a community to remember Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection. Help us just to be grateful as we remember this, as we take the bread and the juice right now. Thank you, Jesus, that you are today and always, our living hope, and that we can live daily in the power of the resurrection. Amen.